I was thinking this afternoon when I was looking over these notes and why I'm going to preach this series here on Sunday evenings anytime I'm here, that I've been preaching since 1995, 21 years. And if I've learned anything in 21 years of preaching, I hope I have learned the importance of always coming back to the basics. Always back to the basics. Now, if we were doing an evangelistic meeting and trying to evangelize people in our society, lots of unsaved people, the basics, of course, would be the gospel. Nothing else matters until people know the gospel and receive the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and faith. But as I'm speaking to believers, it has been emphasized to me over many, many years that we need to continually be going over the basics of the faith to keep ourselves right. We may go beyond those things, and we do, but we always need to keep coming back and keep the basics, the essential truths, fresh in our minds and our hearts. And the basics for a believer start right at this point. What is the Bible? Now, some people may think there's other basics that a believer needs to learn first. I don't agree. The essential doctrine that a believer needs to know is, what is the Bible? And flowing on from that, it is the Word of God, how the Bible should regulate our worship and our life, including church life, in how we approach God in worship. Biblical praise and worship. What is the Bible and how do we approach God? I think that it's very necessary that we are all very clear on this basic subject. What is the Bible? For anyone here, or perhaps listening on sermon audio, who thinks Scripture, the doctrine of Scripture, or what is the Bible, maybe that sounds a wee bit theological, or a wee bit dry, or a little bit detached from real life. Let me assure you of this, that after you are saved and become a Christian, there is no Bible teaching or doctrine that is more essential, more practical, or more life-changing than the doctrine of what is the Bible, what is the Scripture. After we are saved, we need to know this. We must know this. After I was saved in the year 1987, I knew the Lord had saved me. It was a Saturday, and I was in my own bedroom, and I'd walked home from Lisburn 3 miles after I'd walked in and hung round all day, and my life was empty, even though I'd been taken to church by my parents, and I just sat and opened the Bible my granddad had given me, and it opened at John 19, where Christ was laid out in a crown of thorns on a purple robe. And the Lord saved me then. And I knew that night, and I got down to pray and asked God to save me. I felt so guilty that I was a Christian. He saved me. Now, the next most important life-changing event in my Christian life was many years later when I came to see the importance and learn, what is the Bible? What does the Bible say about itself? And therefore, the Bible being the Word of God, how should then, therefore, the Bible, the Word of God, control me Rule over me. Rule over all Christians and the churches in the area of what we believe and what we do. So the subject of the doctrine of Scripture is not dry or academic or detached in any way. It is the most essential, most practical, life-changing doctrine after salvation. There's no doubt about that. I am absolutely sure of it. I hope to go through the subject. It's an introduction. There's 6 sermons on what is the Bible, on the regulative principle, and then we start applying it to church practice, especially to worship. And I hope to apply it in great detail over the months that follow. But I want to start tonight by having sort of a general introduction to what is the Bible. And I would say this, the Bible or Scripture is the forgotten, neglected, despised foundation of apostolic evangelical Christianity. That's like an Al Martin. It's heading, isn't it? You have to explain what you mean. I don't normally have headings like Al Martin, and I love Al Martin. But I'm saying this, that Scripture, the doctrine of Scripture, is the forgotten, neglected, and despised foundation of all true apostolic evangelical Christianity. It's been forgotten in the modern day what the Bible is. What I'm saying is that Scripture is the foundation of Christianity. It's our book. It's God's Word. And yet, a true view of the Scripture as God's governing Word, God's revealed will, special revelation, is forgotten and sometimes hated today among evangelical so-called Christians. Let me give you a few examples on this subject, just from real people. Maybe you've heard of a man called Tony Campolo. Tony Campolo was a pastor. I'm not sure if he still is. I haven't heard of him recently, since in the last 4 years. But he's an American man, I believe, who's a pastor, and he was a pastor to some of the presidents in the United States. But he was a gospel preacher. I say was, because I'm not sure if he still is. But he was a gospel preacher and a professed evangelical pastor. But he came to a point about 4 years ago, or 5 it would be, Tony Campolo came to the point when he said that he is now a red letter Christian. That's what he said himself, a red letter Christian. Now, you know where that comes from. Some of our New Testaments are red letter New Testaments, and they put all the words of Jesus Christ in red ink. And Tony Campolo came to the point when he says he now is a red letter Christian. And what he means by that is he only now believes the words that were spoken in the Gospels by Jesus Christ himself, that are in red ink. And he doesn't believe the rest of the Bible as God's word per se. That's what it means. He can no longer agree, he says, with fundamental doctrines. Now, what does fundamental mean? The word fundamental simply means basic. Hang on, there's a pastor who's saying, who's world famous, who's now saying he no longer can agree with basic doctrine. Alarm bells start ringing, don't they? Oh, wow, what a pastor. And he came to the point when he didn't believe in hell, he didn't believe in judgment, he didn't believe that salvation is through Christ, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, as the only way to heaven. He didn't believe in miracles. He didn't believe in the sin nature, nor the new birth. He didn't believe in the fundamental doctrines. In other words, Tony Campolo came to the point when he no longer believed in many of the parts of the Bible that he thinks are hard or awkward or not popular, and therefore he came to the point when he professed, "I only believe the red letters in the Bible, the words of Jesus, not all the rest of that. I'm a red letter Christian." The words that Jesus actually spoke. I put in brackets here, anyone who says that, including Tony, doesn't really believe the words that Jesus spoke either in red letters. Sure they don't. You know, because John said in his gospel in chapter 17, the Lord Jesus said when he's praying to his Father, "Father, thy word is truth." Jesus believed that the scriptures, that God's word are true. And Jesus also many times speaks of hell and heaven and salvation and people perishing if they don't believe. So Tony Campolo doesn't even believe the words that Jesus said in the red ink either. Now, you could be tempted, therefore, in the light of that to think, well, what someone needs to do is go to Tony Campolo and sit down with him and explain to him from the Bible the doctrines of where Christ speaks about judgment, and where Christ speaks about hell, and where the Lord Jesus speaks about sin. But if anyone were to do that, you would find it would be an utter waste of your time. Be a waste of your breath. Because Tony Campolo's problem is nothing to do with the doctrine of judgment, or hell, or sin, or miracles, or anything like that. That's not the issue. That's not his real problem. His problem is that he no longer believes that the Bible is the Word of God. His problem is he's got a wrong view of what is the Bible, what is Scripture. And therefore, of course, he's starting to go wrong on what the Bible teaches. Certain bits, don't like that, don't like that, don't. Because he doesn't believe it's the Word of God. And that's the problem. A faulty view of the doctrine of Scripture. Another example, you may think is totally different. You've heard, perhaps, in the past, I'm not sure if he's still around, of Archbishop Alan Harper. Totally different end of the spectrum. Tony Campolo is a very charismatic person, very powerful personality on TV and all. Archbishop Alan Harper of the Church of Ireland in Armagh. Archbishop Harper, about 5 years ago, was in the Christian newspapers and leading some big commission in the Church of Ireland, because Archbishop Alan Harper has a problem with people that don't want women ordained to the priesthood. Had a big problem with that. He wanted women ordained. And he also wanted sodomites and gay marriage. And he wanted all that to be allowed, both in the north of Ireland and in the south. And he was outspoken about these things. Let me quote what Alan Harper, the Archbishop of the Church of Ireland, says. "Should it be proved biologically that homosexuality is a natural condition, then the church will have to reflect that in its position." End of quote. Now, in other words, what the Archbishop, the top man at that time in the Church of Ireland, was saying, that should science bias men's views, say that homosexuality is natural, when the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, working that which is against nature, then the church should not follow the Bible, but the views of men. The church should reflect that. Now, Archbishop Harper takes the classic liberal position. By the way, he professed to be an evangelical archbishop. He wasn't one of the liberals. He professed to be a saved man and evangelically believed the gospel. He didn't, but that's what he said. He takes the classic liberal position of liberal theology. Listen to another quote. We must separate in Paul's writings scripture from reason, Paul's ideas in brackets, in order to arrive at the faith for today. End of quote. We must come to the Bible and say, well, that's just Paul's idea. Remove that, in order to arrive at a faith for today. Liberal position. The Bible has God's word in there somewhere, but we must sift through it, weed out the errors that men have put in, and find out what is God's word for today. Now, Spill Harper, therefore, he attacks the scripture passages on homosexuality, sodomy, women being forbidden to teach, and so on, many other passages. But you see, those doctrines are not Archbishop Harper's problem. That's not what he doesn't believe. You could sit down with Archbishop Harper and you could show him various Bible passages on sodomy and that sodomites had said in the law from the Old Testament or be stoned to death under the Old Covenant. You could go through all that in the Timothy passages and it wouldn't make any difference to what Mr. Harper believes. Because he no longer believes the Bible is the Word of God. That's his problem. Therefore, he just jettisons the bits he doesn't like. They don't fit into our society. Oh, that was just Paul's idea. That was just cultural. We just remove that. He just says their culture, their human error, it's just the apostle's idea. So do you see, brethren, his real problem is not with the Bible's teaching on women or sodomy or anything else. His real problem is a wrong doctrine, a wrong view of the Bible. What is the Bible? So you can talk to him all day from the Bible. It'll not make any difference. He doesn't believe the Bible. He doesn't believe the Bible is God's word. And he's been saying it in print for years. I mean, the evangelicals still don't get it. They still go on thinking, well, he says he's evangelical. He's been saying it in black and white. He doesn't believe the Bible is God's word. That's a bit I don't understand about some people in Northern Ireland. Maybe it's the political Protestant mentality. They come to you years after it happened, 10, 20 years in some cases, and say, oh, they allowed a priest into the pulpit in the Church of Ireland, as if they're surprised. It's been going on for over a decade. What are you surprised about? As if they're shocked. They've never learned anything of what the Church of Ireland and the archbishops have been saying for decades. They still don't get it. Because they still think we're Protestant because we're born in a Protestant country. What a load of nonsense. They're not Protestants at all. A Protestant is a saved man or woman who believes the Bible and who protests against the doctrines of the Church of Rome. You can't be a Protestant unless you're born again. There's no such thing. Well, that's Northern Irish past Protestant. Thank goodness it's past. Thank goodness it's dying. It was nothing but a curse, political Protestantism. A true Protestant is an evangelical Christian who protests against the doctrines of the Church of Rome and nobody else. Nobody else. But anyway, they come to you all shocked and surprised. Oh, look what's happening in the Church of Ireland. The archbishop's been writing it in black and white for over 10 years. I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe the gospel. I don't believe in miracles. I don't believe in being born again. And the Church of England's doing the exact same thing. But those doctrines are not their problem. Tony Campolo's problem. Archbishop Harper's problem. Their problems with supposedly the basic doctrines hell, judgment, Jesus being the only way, sodomy, the place of women in the church. Their problems, though they appear to be very different, are not different at all. Both those men have the exact same problem. Their doctrine of Scripture is faulty. They both do not believe that the Bible is the Word of God. That's what the problem is. And that's the cause of all their other problems with these so-called doctrines. They have a deficient view of what is Scripture. The authority of the Bible they reject. And that's the cause of all their other problems. Now, let's come to a little bit of application. Like I say, I've just read those two passages. They're to do with the inspiration of Scripture. We will be looking at them in detail in the next sermon. But I want to just apply this general introduction, showing you the importance of what is the Bible. It's important. It's the main thing for a believer to know. What is the Bible? You must have a basic understanding of this doctrine when you're a Christian. Because if you are loose on your view of what the Bible is, you will go wrong in eventually in many areas of your Christianity. You'll go wrong. You'll be way off beam if you have a faulty view of what the Bible is. It is the Word of God. We are under its authority. Our knowledge of what is Scripture is the anchor and the foundation that will keep us safe from error in our Christian life. It'll keep us on course. Now, let me give an illustration. Imagine an old day sailing ship, Captain Hooker's. There's the captain on the ship, there's all the crew, there's the first mate and all, but there's the captain and then there's the navigator, isn't there? And the navigator has a chart. And he navigates the course, say, through the Atlantic Ocean. Now, the chart is no use unless it's accurate. Sure it's not. The chart has to be approved by the Nautical Society to be accurate. It's no use going to B&M Bargains and getting one for 99p. Is it approved by the Nautical? I'm trying to cross the Atlantic on a rowing boat. Is it approved by the Nautical Society, the chart? Okay. Now, when you've got a good chart that is accurate and sound, what would you think of on that big sailing ship? The captain goes to the navigator and says, plot the course. And the navigator looked at that and says, oh, look, shoals and rocks. I'll rub that bit out. We don't need that. Don't even like the look of that, do you? What do you think of the navigator that started to adjust the chart? That started to cut pieces off the chart that he didn't like the look of? You would think, I'm not getting on that boat. That man's a fool. The Bible, God's Word, is our chart in the Christian life, both individually and corporately as a church. And the lesson we need to learn is this. As Christians, you need to beware of those who start cutting pieces out of the chart. They're dangerous. Beware of them. Beware of those who start changing the chart to suit themselves and what they want. They're dangerous. Beware of those who don't believe the chart anymore. They're dangerous. Your view of Scripture, what is the Bible, is essential life-changing, practical. The doctrine of Scripture is not dry, but many are wrong on this doctrine today. And that's why in many churches, people hear the preaching. Notice in the parable of the sower, what happened? Four types of soil. It says in each verse, it repeats over and over, heard the word, heard the word, heard the word, heard, four times. Each type of heart, they're all the same in this. They all heard the word, isn't that right? The reaction's different, but they all heard it. In many churches, they hear the preaching. Thus says the Bible, thus says the word of God. And they go out through the door unchanged and disobedient. Because many people today are mixed up about the Bible and their doctrine, and they don't believe that the Bible is God's word and God's message to them. That's how they can hear. And it makes no difference. That you can make the message of the Bible plain and simple without question. Nobody would doubt that is what the Bible passage is actually saying. People still go out totally disobedient and unchanged because they don't believe the Bible is the words of the living God. It's His revealed will for us now. They don't believe it. They don't believe it's for them. They hear what the Bible says, yes, but they have this take it or leave it attitude. And their problem is their view of Scripture. What is the Bible? If Scripture is God's word, then that puts it totally differently. If this is God revealing His will to me, I'd better do it. I'd better. God, all-powerful, all-knowing, unchanging. But a take-it-or-leave-it attitude simply points to people that don't really believe the Bible is the Word of God. Problem in many places, many people, is the view of their doctrine of Scripture, what is the Bible? Now, I'll draw to a conclusion. It's just an introductory sermon. We start looking in detail next time. The doctrine of Scripture, what is the Bible? The doctrine is important. The doctrine is practical. The doctrine is life-changing. It changes your life when you believe that this is God's word, and therefore, well, I need to do what it says. There's nothing more practical than that. What is the Bible? It's God's inspired word, all of it. All Scripture is given by inspiration, which is actually expiration in the Greek. It's breathed out by God. All Scripture is breathed out by God. Now think about it, all Scripture. Genesis to Revelation, Numbers, Proverbs, all Scripture is given by the breathing out of God and is profitable for doctrine, what we believe. For reproof, for telling us off and pulling us up, for correction, for correcting wrong views, and for instruction in righteousness, in right living, how to live right, telling us how to live and walk. The Bible is God's inspired word, all of it. All Scripture is given or breathed out by God. Next week, we're going to look, or next week, it's probably the end of September next time I'm here. Next Sunday night I'm here, we look at those two references and a few more, and I'll prove to you from the Bible what it says, that it's God's word, and all of it's God's word. But it is this wrong view of Scripture that causes every error, every heresy, and every apostasy. All the problems people have with the so-called, what's a controversial passage? You ever heard that? You've all heard that. What's a controversial passage? All the problems people have with so-called controversial passages are caused, really, by their view of the Word of God being wrong. There are no controversial passages. Controversy is in our mind and in our will. Tony Campolo, Archbishop Harper, do need to be answered. Men like that do need to be answered. But not by pandering to their professed problems with various wee doctrines on sodomy and hell. Not by that way. But by going to them, and I would do this if I got the chance, and showing them, you do not believe the Bible. You do not believe what the Bible says about itself, that it is God's authoritative word. You do not believe the Bible when Jesus did. Thy word is truth, says Jesus. Therefore, you do not follow Jesus. Therefore, you're not a Christian. Because the word Christian means follower of Jesus. And if you do not believe about the word of God what Jesus believed, you're not a Christian. You're not following Jesus. And that's what they need to hear. But it's their view of Scripture. They're not Christians, those people. They have shown their colors that they are wolves in sheep's clothing. And the Lord warns us about that, doesn't he, in Matthew 7. Now, I've spent this whole message emphasizing tonight the importance of the doctrine of what is the Bible to show you why it's worth studying it and taking 6 sermons to do so. But the message is very simple. The Bible is God's word. If you don't practically believe that, you're just wrong. That's all there is to it. There's nothing wrong with being wrong. We are all wrong sometimes. But if you don't believe that, you need to correct yourself. It's the word of God. If you believe wrongly, eventually you'll go wrong. Christians, what I want to say to you, I just want to say, beware of those who have a take it or leave it attitude with the word. If this book is the word of God, which it is, just you do what it says and don't do what it doesn't say. It governs our life. As for any people who would ever think, oh yeah, that's what the Bible says, but I'm not too worried about that, this take it or leave it attitude to God's word will not be favorable before the judgment seat of Christ, will it? Can you imagine appearing before the judgment seat and people trying to say words like this? They'll not be saying this. I'm just saying this is nobody. Every mouth will be stopped when they come to judgment. But imagine, oh Lord, I know the Bible said that, but I didn't think it was for me. I didn't think it mattered that much, that bit. Did you really inspire that bit too? What did Jesus say? By their fruits you shall know them. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What your heart's full of, out it comes. How true. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. I didn't think it was for me, Lord. That bit. Well, you better think it's for you. Because it's all for you and me. Believe it. All of it. It's all God's inspired word. Don't ever have a take it or leave it attitude to the word of God. For anyone listening both here or on the internet who is not saved, God says you are sinful. Here's the gospel. In the beginning, God made heaven and earth, and on the 6th day, he put Adam on the earth, and then he made Eve for him. And they were perfect in the Garden of Eden. But they disobeyed God, and they fell into sin. And God threw them out of the garden, and everyone born since has been born in sin. But God is holy, and sin cannot live where God is. and all human beings are sinful. So to ever get to heaven where God is, we need to have our sin dealt with. And that's why Jesus, the Son of God, God the Son, came and died on a cross for the sins of his people, that we who trust in him, repenting of our sin, are forgiven of our sin and adopted into God's family, that we can go to heaven when we die. But everyone outside of Christ remains in their sin and they can never be in heaven. You're sinful if you're not saved. I'm saved and I'm sinful as well. We're all sinful. But my sin's forgiven because Christ bore it on the cross. When you repent and trust in him, you are saved and forgiven. Trust in Christ. And when you trust in him, you prove you've trusted in him because he's now your Lord. He's the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You do what he wants. You obey him. And if you don't, there is a place where Jesus says, the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. Where our finite souls suffer the infinite judgment or justice of God. And it has to be for all eternity. Because a finite soul, a time-bound soul, can never pay infinite justice of the infinite God and satisfy it. So it has to go on forever. And that's why the eternal Son had to die. Because only he could meet and satisfy the eternal justice of the eternal God. And that's God's word for you if you're not saved. I want to close with John Calvin. Listen to what he says on our subject of Scripture. It is of great consequence that we be established in the belief of God's word. Of great consequence. As the Holy Ghost says, believers embrace and revere every part of the divine word, all the Bible. Take away the word, says Calvin, and there will be no faith left. And lastly, he says this, every addition to his word is a lie. End of quote. Because the word is sufficient. God is sufficient. He's given us all things that we need for faith and practice. Okay, amen. Thank you for listening this evening. We'll turn in our psalters to our closing psalm, which is number 12.